This is about Vancouver prostitute who disappear at end of November 2002. Don't remember name she gave me, had no ID. Sounded like she had just recently come to Vancouver. Caucasian, long black curly hair, jeans, black leather jacket, tattoos, and jewelry. She is dead. Those are the words of who police believe killed 24-year-old Danielle LaRue. She went missing from the downtown east side 16 years ago. Police have no body, no crime scene. One of their only clues in the cold case is a chilling letter sent to Vancouver police a month after she disappeared. This is Cold Case BC. I'm Monica Gould. Danielle had a tough childhood, abuse, foster care. It eventually led to drug use and sex work. Her ancestors are from the Shuswap First Nation, and she grew up in northern BC, but had been living in Vancouver for 5 years at the time of her disappearance. While police are convinced that anonymous letter was written by her killer, some in her family are skeptical.
If it hasn't been signed and hasn't been verified, well, to me, it's just hearsay, and I don't really want to have much to think about the letter in the first place.
Danielle's half-brother, Jules LaRue.
Maybe it just makes me more comfortable not seeing the letter and being able to hold on to hope a little bit more about my sister still being alive, possibly.
Tell me a little bit about Danielle, what she's like.
Well, from what I remember that she was like, because it's been a long time ago since I last seen her, she was kind of reserved in her personal life with family. She's really quiet, but she would like to be a little bit adventurous. She'd be really polite around like family, and that's so from what I heard of how she was away from family, she was she had a different type of a lifestyle where she wasn't always polite, but whenever she was around family, she was real polite and she didn't swear. That's mostly how I really remember Danielle when the times I've last seen her.
How has her disappearance affected you and your family?
Whenever I speak with my other siblings as well as my mom about Danielle, we miss her and we want her to be seen again if she's still alive, or we just want to know what's happened with her and where her remains are, if she really is no longer physically with us. And the way it's affected my brother Norm, and I've started speaking with him again in the past month. He reached out to me. I didn't know his whereabouts, and I couldn't speak with him for a long time because I didn't know how to get a hold of him. And he reached out to me within the past month, and him and his wife are going to be naming their baby girl after Danielle. So that's how it's affected him.
Right. It's definitely something that all of you in the family sort of carry with you every day?
If not every day, at least a couple times a week. I'm starting to be a little bit more okay with it myself. I can't speak for my other family members, but I know that being in contact with my brother Norman again after like about 18 years or something like that, as far as I'm concerned, my brother Norman could have been considered missing because, well, I didn't know his whereabouts. I didn't know if he was still alive, that sort of deal. I just didn't know anything about him. And then 18 years later, just bam, just like that, he reaches out to me and starts talking to me again. So in all reality, if my brother Norman just all of a sudden started talking to me after 18 years and Danielle's been missing for only like maybe 16 years or 15 years, something like that, there's a good chance if she's still alive, she just ran away from her previous lifestyle and is just not wanting to contact anybody from her previous life yet.
You do hold that hope that she's still out there somewhere?
Yes, I do. And if I was in the same position, I'd want my family to hold on to hope as well, and I'm just not going to give up on my sister like that.
What ultimately do you think happened to her?
From all the things that I've heard, there's two things that I believe. Either she was taken away somewhere for human trafficking, or she just ran away to start a better life for herself, a new life. It would be quite a shock. It'd be a pleasant shock, needless to say, that to have her all of a sudden pop her head back in everybody's life and say, "Hey, what the hell are you guys worried about? I'm a grown woman. I'm a LaRue. I'm strong. I'm tough. I know how to take care of myself. I just wanted to go take off and do something different for a while. What the hell's wrong with you guys? You should know better than that I'm I wouldn't be letting somebody run away with me and kill me or anything like that. That's it. That's my hope.
One of the things that the author of that letter says towards the end is they sort of express this remorse for what happened or apparently happened, and they also apologize directly to the family. And does it mean to you anything at all that the person expressed remorse and apologized directly to you and your family?
Not really, because I don't even know if the author is telling a true story about my sister to begin with. So to me, it might even be just a person who fabricated a letter. It doesn't really mean too much to me. Like I said, I haven't seen the letter, so as far as I'm concerned, the letter is imaginary. If someone is actually going to be listening to this and they are the author, it would be nice if you came forward. I don't really see yourself coming forward, whether you're a male or female, because I know it would implicate you and you'd throw yourself in jail. But if that would give you a peace of mind, because it gives some people a peace of mind to have punishment for any crimes that they've been involved in, maybe you would do the same thing by coming forward and letting her family members just really know what happened, sort of deal. Because as for now, some people say, well, it's been really hard for me, but it's been progressively becoming easier to deal with my sister still being missing, because maybe I'm just holding on to the fact that she's still out there because it's easier to think about. I'm not sure.
Police say the case is still active, with a new investigator and, in turn, a fresh set of eyes recently taking over the file. 16 years later, they hope the author of that mysterious letter comes forward again.
You know what happened to Danielle, where her body is buried, and you seem to be remorseful. With the passage of time, it's time to do the right thing and finally bring answers and closure for Danielle's family.
Sergeant Jason Robillard with the Vancouver Police Department.
In December of 2002, when the person wrote the letter and felt the need to send it in to the Vancouver Police, their conscience was obviously bothering them at that time. You know, just from reading the letter and reading the things that were written, it's obvious that your conscience was bothering you then, and I'm sure it's bothering you now. So it's time to come forward, clear your conscience, and do the right thing.
Generally, you don't really hear from the killer, and what's kind of unique about this case, from what we know, I guess, and the assumptions of police, is that you guys actually kind of you've heard from the killer in a way, which doesn't happen often.
Yeah, it's a very unique case in that sense that we received this letter. I've done a lot of work with it to try and identify the person who wrote the letter. And, you know, 16 years later, the case still remains ongoing and hasn't been solved yet. So she's still missing. A body has not been located, but she's presumed dead. We're basing most of that on what was written in the letter. The writer in the letter, described the woman. He admitted to killing her. He even apologized to her family for taking her life.
There's different sort of techniques that investigators use sometimes to look at the way someone wrote something, the way they've written it, their handwriting, etc. Are there little pieces of information about the killer that police have been able to kind of make conclusions about who potentially killed her?
Well, we definitely have theories about who wrote the letter. We have looked at the letter itself. We've looked at a lot of pieces around surrounding the letter. And we like to say, in a homicide case is never closed. So we're definitely looking at this investigation, as we do all our cold cases, from a different, fresh set of eyes. So a new investigator has this now and is looking into it, and it's constantly being reassessed and reassigned. And we're looking at, with the advancement of time, there are certain investigative techniques or improvements in existing investigative techniques. One big one is DNA in any cold case, changes in technology, those kinds of things over time, all these advances. We look at these cold cases and it might reignite, and we might be able to do something that we weren't able to do 16 years ago, we might be able to do now.
I'm sure it's a bit of a challenge not having a body, and also not having really a crime scene in terms of when it comes to looking at these investigative tools and using DNA, things that I guess commonly you'd have little pieces of that in a case?
Yeah, it's definitely a challenging case in that regard, but it's very unique that, you know, we actually have a letter to go by, and we can, of course, analyze the letter, scrutinize the letter, and anything associated to that. So, you know, we have that piece, and we're hopeful that the person that wrote this letter comes forward, especially after 16 years.
Do police think it might be possible? I mean, obviously hard to tell when you don't know who the killer is, but is it possible that they are deceased now?
I mean, anything's a possibility. You know, we're hopeful that, you know, somebody holds the key to this investigation. Somebody knows something. If it's not the person that wrote the letter, we believe there's, you know, there's somebody out there that holds the key, that has that information. And like in a lot of these, some people might sit back and think, well, I don't think it's very important to the investigation, but little do they know that it actually is.
As police make a call for more information, Jules hopes he'll get some answers.
I always have hope that I'll find out something more about my sister. I've used my feelings towards my sister to kind of help with the murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls movement. So even if I do never find out anything more about my sister, I do know that the fact that my sister's been missing has helped me to possibly help others. Siblings, daughters, mothers, grandmas be found.
If you have any information about what happened to Danielle LaRue, call Vancouver Police at 604-717-2500 or remain anonymous by calling Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-8477. I'm Monica Gould.